Hello from Hollywood. It's Rebecca here coming to you live from Box Top Studios, where all the hip kids come together and share their most intimate secrets. Welcome back to Hollywood Spotlight on RealHollywood.com. Joining me in the studio tonight is my producer, Mike, my screener, Peter, and our fabulous typist, Michelle. All right, if you're a newbie tonight, welcome to the show. If you'd like to ask a question, there's a question mark icon on the menu bar you can click on, or just type /ask, and then type in your question. We'd like to give a shout-out to all of you Excite users joining us tonight. If you're using Excite's VP chat, you can ask a question by clicking on the Something to Say button on the lower right corner of the stage. I'm really excited about tonight's show. We have a very special guest joining us in the studio, Ernie Hudson, who is currently starring in the HBO movie Better. Let's all welcome Ernie to the show. Hello, Ernie.
Well, hello, guys.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Great. So let's just get started with the questions right away. This guy says, I'm very excited to see Better. Can you tell us a little about it?
Well, it's a movie about the music industry. It's a murder mystery.
Ooh.
I play a record company owner who's ruthless and...
very far-fetched, obviously.
Even though there are places where I questioned... if things could happen, and the people I know who are involved in the music industry say it's all based somewhat on facts. So, I'm not quite sure what else to say beyond that.
Interesting. How'd you get your start in acting?
I started acting as a kid. I did church plays. In high school, I did school plays. Started acting in college. Started taking acting classes, directing classes, writing classes. I started out being more of a playwright, but I got involved with a group called Concept East Theater in Detroit.
I was going to say, where was this?
In Detroit, and while I was at Wayne State University in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And started acting there. I later got a scholarship to Yale as a playwriting student, but I've always acted. And after the first year at Yale, I got cast in a movie that Gordon Parks was doing called Red Belly.
Oh, wow.
And I started working ever since, acting.
Very cool. Would you say you prefer serious roles or comedic roles?
You know, it's just the opposite side of the same coin.
Mm-hmm.
All comedic... roles are tragic. All tragic roles are comedic. So I enjoy it all. I think I can do it equally as well. Sometimes when I find I've only done a certain kind of thing, I have a desire to go to the other side and try something a little different.
Right. And do you find that you get typecast as well if you're continuously playing a certain kind of role?
Yeah. If you don't switch it up, and I've been able to do that,
mm-hmm.
More so than most of my friends.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't switch it up, then suddenly you will find they'll only consider you for a certain kind of thing. But I played heavies. In the movie Butter, I play a real... heavy villain, on the series Oz for HBO, I play a guy who's pretty straight and who at least has a conscience in trying to do the right thing. So you try to get a balance.
Right, a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
That was actually a question about Oz. Are you still going to be on the HBO series?
Yeah, we're doing it. We did 8 shows last year. And they were very well received, and so we just finished doing 8 more shows.
Great.
And I'm very much a part of them, still the warden. And it's a very interesting series that I'm really very proud to be a part of.
That's wonderful. This guy, Cassius, says, I'm a big fan, Ernie. One of your best performances was in The Substitute. What made you choose the role of Role, the drug-dealing principal?
Well, I had hesitation about playing the role, but what I realized, perfect example of what we were talking about earlier, is that people in the industry had started saying things like, Ernie can't play that role because he's such a nice guy. And so I needed to do something a little bit different. And role A was the right thing to do at the time.
Right. What was it like for you working with the animatronic gorillas in Congo? That's got to be kind of odd.
Yeah, it was odd. It was fun in the sense that once everything was functioning, it was easy to play off of because you could get to the believability real fast.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is things don't always work properly.
Right.
And so you just have to be very patient. It takes a lot of time. I've done a lot of films with special effects, and the acting and the actors really have to take a back seat.
Mm-hmm.
Because if that stuff doesn't work, it could be very embarrassing. So you want to give them all the time they need to make sure that it works. And so it was fun doing Congo.
Do you think that special effects have changed a lot, like say from the time of Ghostbusters to Congo?
Yeah, absolutely. Just looking at the movies and the things that they can do now, when Ghostbusters came out, it was really groundbreaking. There wasn't another movie quite like it.
Right.
I'm really very happy that it still holds up after all this time. But now they can do things that we could only imagine back then.
It's amazing.
Yeah. I don't know how anyone could tell what's real and what's not real when they're looking at film, because it's really very impressive.
Yeah, it definitely is. Are you going to be in the next Ghostbusters film?
I've been hearing rumors about a third Ghostbuster film. I talked to Danny Aykroyd and Harold Ramis, who wrote the first two, and they've been wanting to do it for some time. I know the studio's been wanting to. I know Bill Murray's been really reluctant, and Ivan Reitman has been reluctant.
Really?
So, yeah, they haven't really wanted to do it. So, assuming there's going to be a third one, and assuming I'll be asked, I'd like to be a part of it. If, of course, the script is good, as it should be. I mean, I think the script is very important.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't want to just do a movie just to be doing
it. Just to do a movie.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
Yeah.
This guy says, even though Ghostbusters was so long ago, I personally don't think it was that long ago, but so long ago, do you still get recognized from that?
Every day, there's not a day that I'm on the street just doing everyday business that someone doesn't come up and say, who are you going to call? That's a big Twinkie. You know.
That's a big Twinkie. I love that one.
So it's,
that's funny.
People still remember. And I think maybe because of the cartoon, but people still talk about it and enjoy the movie.
Now, did you do the voice in the cartoon?
No, Arsenio Hall did the voice.
Really?
Yeah, the first cartoon. I was working on a movie, and for whatever reason, it didn't work out. So Arsenio did the voice.
Right. What would you say has been your most challenging role to date, and why?
Probably The Hand That Rocks the Cradle. And it was challenging because the studio did not want to consider me for the movie, primarily because I did Ghostbusters.
Really?
And they thought Ghostbusters being a comedy, that I was a comedian, that people would identify me with Ghostbusters and not take the role in the Hand That Rocks the Cradle seriously.
Which you were so amazing in.
And it was very hard to convince them. And then when I did it, I realized that if it was done badly, it would be very insulting to people who are mentally disabled and to their families. So
right.
You wanted to do it. It was a sensitive issue that you wanted to do right.
Right. What do you think you like most about acting?
I like being able to look at other lifestyles. You know, to take on a character, I used to believe that I could be someone different, but I realize that every character is a part of me. But I look at what if things had happened differently in my life and under a different set of circumstances, would I be a different person? And so I like being able to explore all those possibilities. I realize that life is not so, you know, black and white, you know.
Right.
And we're all capable of a lot of things. So So it's interesting, and it actually opens me up as a human being.
I'm sure.
And sometimes it helps me avoid being so judgmental.
What would you say has been your favorite project, entire project in your career so far?
I always enjoy them all. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Maybe the Hammer Rocks the Cradle again, because I also made up my mind that if I got the role, that I would have fun with it, and that I wouldn't. Up until that point, I think I'd really been looking for a role that would be a breakthrough role. I was looking for a role that was going to make my career.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what happened, that didn't seem to take place. And I kind of gave up on that right around the Hand of Rocks and Cradle. And I just did the movie and did the role to the best of my ability and enjoyed it. So it was kind of a letting go.
Did Curtis Hanson push for you to get the role?
When I first met Curtis in the first meeting,
mm-hmm.
I convinced him that I was the right person for the part. But Katzenberg from Disney, they weren't convinced, and so but he was there in my corner the whole time, and he's been a good friend ever since.
What do you think makes a good script and a good character?
Well, I think a good character to me is someone that that is human, that is believable in that situation.
Right.
One of my favorite actors is Tom Cruise, and people are surprised when I say that, because no matter what film he's doing, I believe him in that situation. And
mm-hmm.
he doesn't get in the way of the story. Sometimes an actor,
right.
if he's not believable, it just throws me off, because I don't buy him in that situation. An actor to me is... The film is more important, than the role, and I believe you have to commit to the role as opposed to making it all revolve around you. You know what I'm saying? You personally.
Yeah, right.
Some actors can't let themselves go. But a good movie, I don't know, it's something that expresses something about the human condition,
mm-hmm.
And when it does, I think it's universal, and that anyone can relate to it, no matter where they're from, because I think basically we're all dealing with this thing called life, and we all are sharing a lot more in common than we probably would care to admit.
True. So if you could work with anyone at all, who would it be?
There's so many really good people. Anthony Hopkins, I'd love to work with. I just find he's interesting.
Mm-hmm. That's right. When you talked about Tom Cruise and how he can take on any role and play that role, that's exactly who comes to mind.
Well, Anthony Hopkins, he can sort of go into places that, I really appreciate what Tom does. I believe him in the situation. But Anthony Hopkins, he's such a different actor.
He physically changes.
Yeah, he does. And
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, he epitomizes.
He really becomes the character.
And I admire that.
Absolutely.
Ultimately, more.
Yeah.
Ultimately, Tom Cruise still retains that basic Tom Cruise element.
Right.
But he does commit to the movie.
Right.
Whereas Anthony Hopkins, I believe, he really can alter a bit.
Yep.
And that's more fascinating to me to watch.
Yeah.
But a lot of good actors. I don't know if I have any favorite actor.
Right. What about directors? Who would you say is your favorite or the best that you've worked with?
Curtis Hanson. Curtis has an L.A. Confidential out now. Got a lot of attention. He did The Hand of Rocks the Cradle. He's a wonderful director. He's an actor's director, because when he comes to you, he's thought it out. He has something to add, and he doesn't get in the way. A lot of directors, they can get heavy-handed,
mm-hmm.
and really destroy a good performance. But Curtis is just really very good at what he does. Very good.
Yeah, he is.
But there are a lot of guys who I'd love to work with. Spielberg, of course, is, you know, I mean, is, and James, you know, James Brooks. Probably I admire James Brooks maybe more than anyone right now, because his movies are so touching.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Jerry Maguire, As Good As It Gets, in terms of endearment. I mean, there's something about his insight that I believe working with him could really make me a better actor.
Mm-hmm. Here's another question from Cassius, who says, you've had a stellar career to date. The role of Lola in The Substitute has proven you can do anything. What type of roles challenge you now?
Now I'm looking to carry a film. I mean, I've done a lot of character work, and I enjoy character work, but what I find is that if the movie isn't about your character, we don't have time to explore all the moods and the up and downs. What happens? Sometimes it's not so much what happens to a character; it's what happens to him after the thing happens.
Mm.
I don't know if that makes sense, but when you're playing a supporting role, a character role, usually we don't have time to dwell on that character after whatever event has happened. With the lead, we go through this experience, and the movie is basically interpreted through him. And I find a lot of guys who are leads in films are so straight that we don't, a lot of the movie is lost because they don't make those moments happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me now, that's the place to go, because that's where you can bring everything you have to work.
Right. What do you think you'd be doing if you weren't acting?
If I wasn't acting, I'd be writing more.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you write?
Yeah, I started off as a writer. And after my first marriage ended, my kids came to live with me. And it was very difficult because acting became more immediate.
Mm-hmm.
With writing, it took time. With acting, you'll hear about a part today, get an audition tomorrow, and be at work the next day. So, acting,
wow.
You know.
Then you're good.
Yeah, if you're fortunate. It's a good job if you can get it.
Yeah.
But I think if I wasn't acting, I would have focused more on the writing. And if I wasn't in entertainment at all, I'd be an architect.
Really?
Yeah, there's something about that whole creation, you know, designing spaces for humans to live in.
Mm-hmm.
That's
the whole environmental design.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Yeah.
I love looking at homes. I love going in and seeing kind of how we sort of arrange our spaces. And,
right.
That's probably, I believe I'd be doing that if I wasn't.
So do you draw?
Yeah, I do draw, and I've always drawn. You know, what I find is that most artistic expression, the people who are in it, it comes out in many different ways. I mean, through music or through art or through, so I've always, you know, liked to draw. And I like drafting because it's so precise and exact.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Great. So, are those the things that you do in your free time now, or what other things do you do in your free time?
Well, for free time now, I like to sing. Singing.
You do?
I like to sing. I used to do a lot of musicals years ago, but I haven't done a lot of stage recently. And so what I've been trying to do, I bought a guitar when I was doing a movie called Clover,
mm-hmm.
Down in, just outside of, Miami or Orlando. And, I bought a guitar, and I've been trying to learn to play the guitar.
That's great.
I'm actually a bit challenged here because it doesn't seem to be happening. And now I'm thinking about maybe if I did piano, so I'm thinking about piano. But I'd like to learn an instrument.
You could start with the bass.
With the bass guitar?
There's only four strings.
Maybe that's the problem, is one string too many.
Right.
But, I like to learn to play an instrument. And so a little bit of of that taking lessons, you know, but for the
I think that's so wonderful.
Oh, well, thanks.
Well, sure.
I'm gone a lot, and because most of the things I do have been on location. So when I am home and I have free time, it's really kind of getting into whatever the kids are into, whatever my wife is into.
Right.
And I don't really have a lot of hobbies as such. The downside of acting is when you're acting, you're busy acting, and when you're not acting, you're busy trying to get work. So it's very hard to just enjoy your free time.
Right. Totally understand that. Craig here says, you seem to have done an awful lot of movies. How many would you estimate that you've done, or do you know how many you've done?
I don't really know. I would guess maybe, and this is just a rough guess, I'd guess probably 40 movies, maybe.
Wow.
Probably,
not too shabby.
Yeah, I mean, this is a rough guess. I'd say probably 20 movies of the week, you know, TV movies.
Right.
And I don't know how many TV shows, maybe 30, you know, from back when doing The Incredible Hulk to Little House on the Prairie to Bosom Buddies. So it's, but I'm not really, you know, I haven't really sat down and counted them up.
Right. Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, some are more extensive than others. Some, like Ghostbusters, a 5-month shoot, and some movies now, it's a little shorter shoot usually because we just don't have the money to really do them that way. So, but yeah, it's been a few now. I've been doing it for a while.
What would you say the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to you on the set?
The most embarrassing thing that ever happened to me on the set? I can't think. And if I was doing a play, probably the most embarrassing thing was I was doing a play called A Great White Hope at the Missouri Repertory Theater.
Ooh.
And they had cast some of the parts locally, and the people weren't, in my opinion, professional.
Right.
And so we had one scene that we were having trouble with, people remembering their lines. And I just, it was about 2 days before the show was to open, and I was fed up with it, and so I made the announcement that I was a professional, and that I couldn't work that way, and the next time somebody messed up the lines, I was going to walk out. And so, in the middle of the scene, there was a pause there, somebody had forgotten the lines, and I walked out of the theater. And the assistant director came running after me, asked me to please come back. And I said, I couldn't work with people who couldn't remember their lines. And he said, but it was your line.
Oh, that's pretty bad.
We apologized.
Ooh.
And,
did you go back in there, or did you have to take a little time and get that red off your face? Ouch.
Say to be humble.
Yes. Yeah. We all need a little, bit of that. Get reminded, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. That's a great story.
Yeah.
What were some of your favorite films this year? Past year, whatever.
Well, I love Titanic because it really was the best of what Hollywood could do.
Mm-hmm.
It was big. It was certainly worthy of, you know, the Academy Award.
Right.
I really loved As Good As It Gets.
Yeah.
It was just, I thought it was great.
I mentioned it
earlier. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
And I loved, Good Will Hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very excited to see those guys, young guys, put it together and make it happen.
Yeah.
And the movie will probably make them zillionaires. But, those three, I'm trying to think what else is out there, but,
those are the ones
that kind of stick out of my mind, yeah.
Right.
I liked, Eve's Bayou.
Oh, that was,
you know,
so...
And, I thought it was very interesting.
So good.
Interesting movie.
I loved that film.
You know, there was a few, good movies, The Boxer, I thought was interesting.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting. So there was a few good films.
Now, you said you'd probably be an architect if you didn't get into acting. Do you yourself have a favorite architect?
No. I don't... Not really, no. I haven't really studied them that well.
The same person...
I guess I'm really just like, you know, and a lot of it is the... When I go to Europe and you look along the sort of the English countryside or the old traditional sort of... I'm not sure. I mean, that style has been around a long time. You know, we have kind of a, it's not quite a traditional Tudor, but it's, those little cozy spaces. I don't really have, and I said I'd probably be an architect, I haven't really studied architecture. I'm not into high tech and
modern.
It's a little cold,
a little museum-like.
Yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with museums, but
I wouldn't want to live in them,
you know?
Yeah, I know. That's where I am, too.
Except maybe the Getty. The new one. Might be nice to wake up and look at that view.
I'll take the old one, you know, just move me into there.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
We can trade every now and then. So do you live in Los Angeles? This guy says if you do, have you ever been to the Gamble House? And if not, you should go.
Have I been to the what house?
The Gamble House.
Oh, the Gamble House, no. I've been to the Gamble House, where it is. The one in Pasadena, is that the one?
I think it's in Pasadena, yeah. Yes?
Yeah, in Pasadena, I said. No, we've never gone in. I used to live in Pasadena. But
did you? I think Pasadena is so nice.
It is a nice place, yeah.
Isn't it?
For about 5 years.
It's really?
An interesting place, yeah. But I live in sort of West LA.
Okay.
And West Valley, I should say.
West Valley.
Yeah. And I have a place up in the mountains near Lake Arrowhead.
Oh, nice.
For about 10 years, and I still have a place up there, but
little getaway.
Yeah. So between these two places.
Wow.
You know.
This is a good question. Do you yourself have an interest in the paranormal?
You know, I'm fascinated by it, and I suppose I'm a cautious believer. I believe there's something to it. I really do.
Yeah.
And I've had unusual experiences that I can't quite explain.
Right.
But on the other hand, I can't say absolutely. It's not exact. And the people I meet who say absolutely they can't be, you know.
Right.
Absolutely. You know what I mean?
Right.
Put your finger on something and do it all the time. I don't know. So I guess I believe in that, but I don't quite understand it.
Yeah, same here. You know, I love hearing people's ghost stories.
Yeah.
I met this girl from Germany, and she just, we were talking for like 2 hours, and she was just telling me story after story about these ghosts in her house, and it was so interesting to me.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I've heard stories, and I certainly have seen things, but I've got to tell you, I wouldn't want to go through it on a day-to-day
thing. No, me neither.
So,
when I was little, I used to pretend, though.
I'm sorry, what?
When I was little, I used to pretend
I think sometimes if you...
And lie.
You start to believe it, and pretty soon you can talk yourself into it.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
Yeah. I mean, I have an experience. When I was a little kid, I thought I saw someone in the house, and then I told someone, and then the story just kept getting better.
Better and better.
And after a while, I think I really started to... And then
believe that, right.
I can't honestly tell you right now if I actually did or how much of that was, you know...
Right.
The mind is very funny.
It's a funny thing.
Yeah.
For chicks. You mentioned that you sing, that you just got this guitar.
Right.
What type of music do you like, and what do you play on your guitar?
Well, you know, I don't play a lot of anything on guitar. I'm still with Michael Rhoda's Boat Ashore and that sort of thing. I'd love to play anything that sounds like a song. But I grew up on rhythm and blues.
Right.
You know, and I love the blues.
Mm-hmm.
And I love jazz, light jazz, not too heavy.
Right.
But But, you know, I like, you know, different kinds of stuff. I mean, I don't think there's anything I don't like, depending on the mood. But basically, I guess I'm from the old school of rhythm and blues.
Right.
And I like the Delta blues sometimes, if I'm, depending on the headspace. You know, if I want to play,
right.
and I'm, you know, it kind of depends on the headspace.
I saw this really funny tape called Pimps, Players, and Hustlers. It's great. It's got, like, Shaft on it and all these funky old.
Oh, yeah.
I love them.
In fact, there's a play in New York called The Light that I saw when I was there. And it was kind of funny, too. But, you know, some of the stuff that was in the 70s and 80s, it's part of the 60s. You know, the old, you know, doo-wop.
Right.
That old stuff from the 60s and 50s and all that.
Yeah.
But I don't think, there's not too much music that I really just...
dislike.
Just really hate.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Maybe some real deep country western stuff.
Come on, man.
You know, most of the stuff I'm pretty good, but you get too heavy with it.
Yeah.
And jazz, if it gets too complicated, I can't follow it.
Yeah, like I'm personally not so hot on the jazz fusion.
Yeah, that's
I like the old basic.
Right.
You know.
Right. And the funny thing about jazz, I love watching it. I love the performance of it. But to listen to it on a record, unless it's pretty mellow, I can't quite get to it.
Right. I'm with you.
Yeah.
So tell us what a typical day is like for you, other than being asked by swarms of people. Who are you going to call?
It all depends on if I'm at home. If I'm at home, like now, I get up in the morning, I walk my dog, and then I come back and have breakfast with the kids. A lot of times I'll walk them to school or walk with them to school.
How old are your kids?
The small ones, I have four kids. Small ones are 9 and 10.
Mm.
So, like, in the third and fourth grade.
Right.
And so I walk with them to school, and then I'll come back and work out for about maybe an hour. And then, start the day, and depending on what, you know, I try to get some writing in somewhere usually between, like, 1 and 3.
Right.
And a couple times a week, my wife and I will kind of hang out and have breakfast or whatever, but... and then it's just phone calls and meetings and, not a lot of fun, really. I found that the early evenings, I've started to enjoy that more because I live in the valley.
Mm-hmm.
It's so hot.
Yeah.
When the sun goes down, it's kind of a neat time to get
right.
out of the pool.
Right.
Or kick back. And, and then at night, usually just sort of listen to music or I'm not much of a TV watcher, but I do like to watch films. Being a member of the Academy, we get a lot of the stuff on tapes.
Uh-huh, of course.
There's no really set routine when I'm home. When I'm on the road, obviously, depending on where I am, I just left New York. I was there for 3 months. And then you find yourself either sitting alone in a hotel or just going out and seeing everything you can.
Right.
So
right.
But it all kind of changes because sometimes, you know, we shot this thing called Tornado Alley, I think it was. We shot it in Texas. I've shot in a lot of different locations, so depending on where I am, I guess.
Right.
I don't really have a routine. In fact, I like the idea of a routine. I'd love to be able to say I do this and this and every day, but it literally changes every day. It changes with a phone call.
Well, that's good.
It is.
Too much monotony. And...
yeah, but normally I don't know what day it is because, you know what I mean?
Right.
They work every day and then they know that Saturday and Sunday they have
home. Right. That's how I am. If I'm not at work, I don't know what day it is.
Yeah, and I don't have, I don't really have, yesterday my son had a birthday party and, when I got back, I got a call about a project, and I picked the script up, say an hour before that, I didn't know that was going to happen. So today I found myself reading the script, and so it changes.
Right.
It changes. that, you know, I've worked a lot, and now I'm sort of getting more to the writing and trying to cut down taking so many jobs.
Mm-hmm.
But you still have to read a lot of stuff, you know,
yeah.
Meetings. It still takes a lot of time.
Right. Who's the biggest inspiration in your life and your career?
The biggest inspiration in my life, I don't know, I like to say my wife, just because she's able to sort of keep going every day. I mean, it amazes me, you know, I mean, rain or snow or whatever. I kind of go through my moments where I'm really effective and I'm really taking care of business, and then when I sort of go through my downs, I just don't want to deal. You know, I want to sort of crawl under the cover. But she just keeps taking care of business. And so I really kind of admire that and wish I was a little more consistent that way. Probably the greatest inspiration was my grandmother who raised me. And there's absolutely nothing that I do or even say that in some way hasn't been influenced by her.
Right.
And her, you know, philosophy and her way of looking at life. And you know, professionally, just really seeing, you know, guys who do their stuff, you know, and do it really good, and makes you want to say, I want to be like that someday.
Right.
I want to get it right one time. You know, I mean, I really would like to, you know, the great Belindas, that tight rope walking family from Europe. You know, they they walk the tight rope generation.
Yeah,
they were in Detroit years ago, and they strung a wire from two of the tallest buildings in downtown Detroit. And there was a storm and they were to walk this wire to advertise the circus coming to town. And there was this big storm that came up. But he went up there anyway, and he walked across with the storm and everything. And then on the 5 o'clock news, he was talking, and he said he did it because it was the one thing in the world he did better than anybody else. And I thought, what a neat thing to be able to feel that way about something.
Right.
You know, and I can't say that, but I can say I like having something that I really can strive toward.
Yeah.
The downside is he was killed walking the wire, but I
guess, right.
You know, that's part of it too.
Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah.
Have you ever taken or passed up a role that later you regretted?
No, not really. There was some roles that came up. Usually it had something to do with money.
Right.
You know what I mean? The role in Night Court, they approached me with it, and I really wasn't interested. And then later on, the show ran for a long time, and I would say, geez, if I had taken that role.
Right.
But then I really look, every time I say that, I look at it, I kind of go, but, you know, I wouldn't have been happy.
Right. And you would have missed out on opportunities.
Yeah, that I would have, because I would have been tied into a
in the contract.
And every time that I really didn't get a role that I wanted so badly, even though I would go through my depression, later on I look back and I realize that it wasn't the best thing for me.
Right.
There was a movie, a TV series called Ryan's 4,
uh-huh.
back in 82, I think it was.
Uh-huh.
That ABC was doing, and I didn't get that part, and I wanted that part so badly because it was about some doctors, and I just thought I'd be so great at it. And my agent told me that I didn't get the role, but I got a movie called Adventures in the Creep Zone. I thought my life had sort of come to an end. Well, the Adventures in the Creep Zone became Space Hunter. That Ivan Reitman was producing. out of that, a year later, he was doing Ghostbusters. So things have a way of tying in.
Exactly.
And Ryan 4, nothing ever came
Nothing
up.
Happened, so, right.
But I was so, at the time, so convinced that, you know, after Ghostbusters, I didn't, it was hard for me to get work in film. It was almost 3 years before I got another movie.
Wow.
But I did St. Elsewhere. I did 8 episodes of St. Elsewhere.
That's great.
Where I met Tom Fontana, and we talked about doing something. And nothing ever happened, but Tom is the writer and creator of Oz.
Right.
And so, you know, you just never know where the blessing is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to trust that you're where you should be.
Yeah. And be nice to people.
Because
you never know.
Especially in this business.
I know.
Yeah.
So do you do any work with any charities at all? Or anything?
Well, I used to do the muscular dystrophy, that Jerry Lewis telethon.
Uh-huh.
And I stopped doing that after, I think I did it for about 5 years. But for personal reasons, I just didn't feel good about it anymore.
Uh-huh.
But a lot of times I get asked to do things, and I just did the March of Dimes, the Easter Seals, you know, telethon they had. But, yeah, a lot of times, you know, I'll get asked to come in and do, you know, fundraisers, and I'll, you know, if I'm available, I think it's important to do that stuff. You know, I'm not sharing anything or... But if I'm asked, usually I'll try to be involved.
That's good. What's your opinion of the internet and the opportunities it provides to perform like this?
I think it's great. I mean, it's amazing to me.
Yeah.
How the internet has grown. I mean, I got my first computer. Jeez, what were we in '90s now? A long time ago, and. And I remember when the whole internet thing just started, it was like nothing, and now it's... So I think it's wonderful. I admire people who can sort of make sense out of it.
Right.
I can't.
Yeah.
But I can at least go in. I think, you know, for those who really are so involved with it, I think it's a wonderful thing. And for those people like myself who can go and get information when you need it, I just think it's great, and it's only going to get better.
Yeah. Absolutely. Totally agree with you.
Yeah.
Do you think your kids are going to follow in your footsteps as far as acting goes?
Well, my oldest son, who's a martial artist, got his degree from CW Post. He started acting about a year and a half ago.
Really?
Yeah. We did a couple of movies. In fact, he's in Butter, HBO movie coming on tomorrow night.
Oh, it's tomorrow night.
It's tomorrow night at the 24th.
So we're supposed to be plugging this away, and we haven't even really talked about it.
Well, it's tomorrow night, and but he has a small part in. He plays Donnie Wahlberg's henchman. His head is shaved. And,
well, there you go.
So, and we did a movie called Hijack at the end of last year together, but. That's a choice he made. I have no desire to encourage them to be in the entertainment industry. I think it's a business that really requires a certain kind of insanity. But, if they want to do it, hey, you know, you have my blessings and
right.
Power to you, but, you know, that would be your choice. I wouldn't let them do it as kids because I think it could be really destructive.
Yeah.
You know. But you know, you can do anything you want to do as far as I'm concerned, as long as you pay your own bills. My second son is in New York, lives in New York, and he's a musician.
Oh, really?
Went to Columbia grad school in film. And,
right.
But the only thing I really had asked, and I asked all my kids, to at least get a bachelor's degree.
Right.
I think it's very important just for your overall development to go that 4 years in college.
Yeah.
The two older boys have, and I think the two younger boys will do the same.
You've got all boys, huh?
Yeah, I'm all sons. I have 4 sons and a grandson.
Wow.
Beyond that, I don't really... I just like to see them live their own lives and do whatever it is they want to do. You know, so whether or not they'll be actors, I don't know. You know.
Just have to wait and see.
Have to wait and see. You know, if they choose it, I just really want them to be good at it, you know.
Right. Absolutely. This is an interesting question. If you had the opportunity to talk to one person in history, who would it be?
One person in history.
Yeah.
I don't know. Gandhi, I suppose. Maybe, I'm not sure why. Gandhi, one person in history. I guess Christ is in history. I'd love to have a conversation with Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, in the flesh.
Yeah.
You know, Malcolm X, I'd love to have a conversation with Malcolm X.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Those are three really solid answers.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many people in history that have been so amazing that it's, you know, and if I did have a conversation, I wouldn't even know what to say.
Right.
I think I could talk to those guys, though. You know, some I could just sort of be like, wow. But I think I could actually
have a conversation.
Cool.
So what roles do you have coming up?
These are films that I've finished that haven't been released yet.
Uh-huh.
There's a movie called Stranger in the Kingdom. A filmmaker named Jay Craven, who's a Vermont filmmaker. We shot it in Vermont, and it should be coming out soon. I play a minister who gets hired to run this church in northern Vermont. They hire him, it's like in 1951, they hire him based on his resume and don't realize that he's black.
John
Nelson, who was in Fresh and a wonderful young actor, plays my son. So we go there looking for a better way of life, and of course things get complicated. But it's a very interesting movie. It's based on a true story.
Yeah.
So that's, and I saw the movie. It's actually a very good movie.
Is it?
There's another movie.
When can we look for that?
You know, I'm not quite sure when he's going to bring it out. I'm thinking maybe the fall, but I'm really not sure. There's a movie that Miramax produced called Without Warning with a guy named Philip Reed. And it'll probably maybe the end of May. Maybe these things I'm not really sure of the exact dates. But it's called Without Warning. Philip Reed produced and starred in the Best of the Best series. And a wonderful human being. I just really like him a lot. He's a good actor, and so that should be coming out. And that is a really interesting movie that'll probably be coming out soon. I think they screened it today. It was called October 22nd. That's the name of it. It was called Bang, but another movie came out last year with the same title, so they changed it to October 22nd. And it's with Amanda Plummer.
Oh, she's great.
She is wonderful. I mean, Richard Shankman directed it. Richard did a movie called Pompous of Love.
Oh, right.
And
John Cryer.
Yes, John Cryer. Yeah. But it's a really interesting movie, and I play play a 45-year-old virgin who lives with his mom. He's about maybe 75 pounds overweight, and his mom dies. He's totally lost, and he develops this obsession with this girl who lives across the hall, who's Amanda Plummer.
Wow.
And really interesting story, and I think it should be a good movie. There's a movie called Bacon the Funk that a guy named Tim Che produced that me, Pam Grier, Top Ali, she's in Fresh Prince of but a good cast. Funny, it's a comedy. Bob, Pam Grin, I'm married. Can't have children. We adopt a baby. Our last name is Lee, and so the agency gets confused and gives us a Chinese baby. And we fall in love with the kid, and we raise him like our own. And of course, the kids in the neighborhood think he's faking the funk.
Right.
Himself,
so. Faking the funk.
Yeah,
I love that.
Playing in a lot of the festivals, and it's a good film.
That's and, so funny.
You know, the movie's called Levitation.
I'm sorry.
No.
I love that.
Yeah, it's really very good.
I love that expression, faking the funk, yeah. Anyway, yeah. You know? So
yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, and it's, I'm actually surprised it hasn't been released yet. I think maybe Miramax is picking up, but I'm not really sure.
Right.
There's a movie called Levitation. That I play a radio disc jockey who befriends this kid who's running away from home. And,
you're just working nonstop, Mr. Hudson.
You know, I've done a few things, a few things out, and just basically, staying busy.
That's great.
But Bill Forsythe is a good friend of mine. Bill, we did Weeds together,
uh-huh.
The Substitute together.
Right.
And he called me, he had a movie called For Which He Stands.
Mm.
That he was starring in, and I play an FBI agent. It's not a real big role, but it's that should be coming out too. But it's his starring vehicle, and
great,
really proud to be a part of.
Wow.
So that's some of the things that should be coming up soon.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
So we've got time for one more question here. And this is a great one. What would you suggest to a person who's just starting out in the business? What kind of classes should they take? What should they do?
Yeah, I think if you're going to be an actor, you should be acting. And obviously, it's hard to get work right away, so you should find a theater group. It could be a junior college or a college, but you should be studying. Because when you do get an opportunity, you don't want to blow it because of what you don't know.
Right.
Also, I think being around other actors makes you aware of what's going on. And so just get involved. Do not try to become an actor and just go on that assumption about if I meet somebody.
Right.
You know, and go to all the parties thinking somebody's going to discover you because you have such a look, because it's a death trap.
Right.
So if you're going to do it, study.
Really do it.
You know, until the time comes, and then be ready.
That's great advice.
Yeah.
Ernie, thank you so much for joining us tonight. It was really great to have you on our show.
Listen, I really enjoyed talking to you. I really, I haven't met you. I feel like I know you. I just want to say thanks.
Well, thank you, and the next time, we got something coming up, we'll have you on here.
Great.
For sure. So everybody be sure to check out Better. That's airing tomorrow night on HBO.
Great.
And we want to thank all of you folks for joining us from Excite and all of you here on realhollywood.com. And do please join us again tomorrow night at 7 when our guest will be Cynthia Geary of You're the One. Good night, everyone.
Great. Good night.